Right, you do wrong. After Sukkot, after Pesach, we have Bahav, 3 days of fasting. The reason is intriguing. It's because you eat more on Yom Tov. And you say it's because the Chol Yom Tov, you eat more. But you're just fooling yourself. Don't eat more because it's Yom Tov. Eat more because you like to eat more. But you blame it on Yom Tov. That's the reason for Bahab. The tightness is for assigning a secular personal thing as if it were a mitzvah. And you hide behind the fact that it's a mitzvah. That's why you're eating. That's Tyson's job. Yeah. This is in Titus. Yeah. But the fact is that Bahab has become extinct, meaning. When I was growing up, we had a minion by a chal for Minchatah. There were 10 people fasting always. Yeah. Some people didn't fast, but the older generation passed it. My father's a Tzal Shul. It was a very, very important part of their religious life. Some people say it came about because many people fasted Monday and Thursday every week, because that's the only way you can make the budget last. If you don't eat two days a week, you can manage to eat the other days. But Bahava is pretty well an extinct meaning. Here in Yeshiva, they said Slichas?
No.
No?
I don't know.
They said it in the morning.
What was it the meaning?
In Gluck, they said it.
I'm sorry?
In Gluck, they said it in the morning.
They did say?
Yeah, they said
Slichas, yeah. Yeah, that much they should say. In my shul, we don't say Slichas, and people are what? When I came to the shul, I didn't say it. Couldn't convince them. The bus schedule, for those who go by bus, etc., interfered with Bahab. Okay. Let's see if we can go a little further in the Gemara. We have a lot of ancillary things to do. We have, I assigned you, and other people had a chance to do anything on the Eagles, like the Eagles about Kli, about opening up cans on Shabbos and so on. Did you get a chance to look at it all yet?
Halfway through.
Huh?
It's long. Yeah. Halfway through. It's really long.
Halfway through. Right. We'll pick it up tomorrow, Mr. Shem, a piece of that, and then I spoke several times at the Bar Mitzvah, and in the process realized that I had a clear eye to the Egli Tal, that one of you should have presented before we start. Remember, the Egli Tal holds on Zriya, that you seed the ground on Shabbos, and then you pick it up before it had a chance to germinate. You save a field, it's a field skiway. Remember, the Rashash says, nonsense. Why is it different than putting a loaf of bread in the oven, an ofer, there, if you take it off before it is literal point up, before cross forms, you're not over. It's not also to do it, but though he's no chiyuv chatos, no chiyuv skila. Why is it different? And all the, if you remember, all the Egli Tal did was bring rayas from other people who say so, right? Rai from the Chinuch, Rai from Yerushalmi, etc. But it doesn't really answer why is it different. It occurred to me that a simple thing we didn't say in class, remember, what's a tolodo of Zriya? Right? And remember, what's a tolodo, what's another, a tolodo of Zriya? Nu.
Zomer.
Huh?
Notea.
Near.
Zomer.
What do you say?
Zomer.
No. It's a lot of Zriya. Hashrasha. No, Hashrasha. Hashko. What we spoke about, pouring water out when you are sitting on your deck and you want to get rid of something from your glass, you throw it out. Remember, if there's grass growing, it's an Yisro. When's the Yisro start? When I water the ground. When the water will have an effect, it make it grow faster. I pour out water, I make Zriya, and then I go ahead and make Hashkoah. Hashkoah has a shear. No shear mentioned any place. Why? Zriya, nothing happens. Hashkoah, nothing happens also. Or you said part of Zareya was Zomim, right? You prune the tree. Prune the tree, that helps it grow better. So it's anything helps me grow better is a tolodo of Zoreya. I prune the tree Friday night, then when am I chayev? Wednesday or Thursday when it starts to grow? No one ever says anything. Miyad. So why? Here's share this photo. This came over this trip while on the airplane. It's a chilik whether you're dealing with a live thing or a dead thing. A lump of wet dough, you put it in the oven, it remains a lump of wet dough until it becomes not a lump of wet dough. What's a shear, not a lump dough? Nikamu ponov, across forms. It's no longer a lump of wet dough. That's an accomplishment. Some nechas mashevus. A seed is alive. A tree is alive. If I do anything to further the life of a living thing, that's nechas mashevus. By zriya, I'm putting the seed in an environment that fosters its growth, makes it possible now for the live thing to grow. That's that. Single act. Nothing has to happen after that. But to go ahead and move something into a life-giving, a life-allowing environment, that's the Melechas Vashemus. Just as taking a pruner, a clipper, and cutting off a twig. The Yisur is kotzeitz from the mechubo. That thing that you cut off is no different than it was before. What happened? His kotzeitz dovo michayev. Now it no longer can grow. That's an Yisur. So up as kotzeitz ben hamechubo, then depends what. Maybe bone. If I go ahead, I take off a clod that's in my way. The earth is not smooth. I can't play marbles. I can't play ball. So you say you can't play ball on Shabbos because ashre gumos, right? You may smooth over a place because it'll be more comfortable for you to place your foot like a baseball pitcher. It seems to fuss around before he throws the ball. He looks like a bull ready to charge by moving his foot up and down and right, smoothing out, that's bone net, right? He's adjusting the ground to his needs. Okay, let's pick up the Gemara here. Enter the Gemara before the Mishnah. People were up to the Gemara, Amamachko v'Amachadcho, who made a lane on that already. Okay, you got it on the third down. Among the Lamates Melochos listed, one of them is Mochek, right? Amachadich. What's Mamachek? Mamachek means what? To smooth something over. What are we talking about? Isa d'Raisa. Okay. Someone wants to volunteer? Go ahead. Omar. Omar Baraka Bachanina.
Which one is that then? Sorry. Ein Hamer Beis.
Yeah? An
Ein
Hamer Beis? Ein Hamer Beis, yeah. A third down.
Okay. Amar Abacha Bar Chanina, Hashaf Ben Amudim Shabbos Chai Misham Mamate.
Okay. Let's stop here. What does Rashi learn?
Shall I read Rashi?
Difficult Rashi, yeah.
Hashaf Ben Amudim, Kigon Amude Achsadros, like the pillars of the hallway. Shasuyim Cholonos Cholonos, that they make a lot of, they had a lot of windows. Mismachim b'chalonos bein amal amad, and they placed the windows close to each pillar.
Yeah. Can you visualize the structure he's talking about?
It's a column.
Again, okay. V'ashov shom b'karkos ha'binyan, shenishon all of, what does it mean? And he smoothed out the floor of the building which they lean against, right? They shi'echolok, Chayav Shem Amachek. I mean, don't know what he's talking about. The Taisus picks him up, right? Look at Taisus. Here's Rabbi Hananel. The Shof Ha'or Al Ha'omud Kdei Lachlikel. וכן משמע בירושלמי. ורשא פירש ששוף קרקור שבין עמודי חלונוס ולא נהירו. I don't like that. He doesn't like that. I think he doesn't like it, he doesn't understand it, like we don't understand what Rashi said. Doesn't like a pshat, you don't understand. It's hard to visualize what was the structure we're talking about there. Tesis is a simple thing. I have a table. The tablecloth has a leather tablecloth, right? And it's wrinkled. And I'm a machik. I smooth it out. That's easy. Simple.
It's not permanent, though.
Huh?
Is that an issue that's not permanent? Like, that's not a... So I can't go like this to my shirt because I'm being machig?
No, but leather would be permanent. That's why, as it says.
That's why, like a very heavy.
He's careful to say, right? Shof ha'or al ha'omud. You have a ring. That's part of the Ibn Ovos there, but in this case, machig is one of the isurim in Ibn Ovos, in the leather making process.
Need a kli for that, or would that just stay with your hand?
I'm sorry?
Wouldn't you need a kli to smooth out the leather, or?
Not a kli, with your hand. That's simple pshat. Problem is, Rashi is concerned with, then why does it all get complicated like that? Hashof bein hamudim, why talk bein hamud? Hashof, oh, why is mamachik? Sure. That's one of the Isurim that I said for Machi. So Rasha learns a case that, I mean, the case is obviously something well known to Rashi. Yeah. You have a gazebo. That's what he's talking about. You have a gazebo outside that's open with windows, etc. And what is it used for? Recreation, for relaxing there, etc. And if, as it is there, just giving a kind of the social scene there. There you come in, and there's something not smooth. So the tendency is to smooth it out. It's a place where people stand, where people congregate, where people socialize, etc. So just no different, the way Rashi seems to see it, no different than your deciding to play basketball on Shabbos on a clay court, on a sandlot. You can't play ball on Shabbos because Zerov, maybe Mishum Ashra Gumos, maybe you'll smooth something out. That's what Rashi says. But Rashi gives the social sense, he tells you what it is. What we call a gazebo. It's open, has only windows. It's not a place for living. It's a place for recreation, for relaxing. Okay, that's the best we can do with Rashi. Okay, next. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba.
Okay, so what does Tosfos do with the Amudim?
Huh?
What does Tosfos do with the word Amudim then?
He says the Amudim is, like I say, the tablecloths on the tables, plural, right? He says on the Amudim they have a leather tablecloth,
covering,
a leather covering.
Bar Abba, Gimel Dvarim, Sachli, Rav Ashi, Mishmei, Rav Yishuv, and Levi. Rav Abba said, three things were told to me by Rav Ashi in the name of Rav Yishuv and Levi. Hamagar, Roshay, Kolonios, Beshavis, Chai, Mishom, Mechate.
Okay, well, he's telling you something that's obviously a little bit of a chidrush or something. I tell you a secret I had. I spoke to Rav Ashi, right? And he said the name of Shulam ben Levi had a big chidush. What's a big chidush? Hamagare roshe klunsoos b'shabbos.
That's also like rubbing down the pillars, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, that's being something you wouldn't know without him. No?
I think it's like sanding.
The what?
I think it's like sanding. The other thought it would be mamachik, but he's still teaching you as mechate.
No, it's not mamachik. He's dealing with klunsoos. What's klunsoos?
Beams, sticks.
Wood.
Wood, yeah.
Right. He's dealing with wooden beams.
Yes.
Right? That's it. You told me that smoothing out leather is mamachik. I want you to know, smoothing out a piece of wood, right? What we call sandpaper. You know, take some sandpaper and smooth out a piece of wood. Right? What did you do? Yeah. What? Which of the avmalochas will it fit into? Yes, mechatir. You can think mechatir is only if you cut up something that's niko. No, even though it's a mount that's not even niko leinayim, but the end result is niko. Right? That's also mechatir.
Like, I think Rashi is, so it's in there, it has to be that you're sanding it down to a certain amount. If you're sanding it down just for smoothness, I think that would still be mechatir.
The chur, maybe That's part of the chiddush nutso, you know. Yeah.
I thought it was just the contrast of three things.
Yeah.
They seem to be the same exact action, but
they're
different
office. Rashi uses two words. Sheyu, they should be shavim v'chadin. Right. In other words, I want to put together this piece with this piece. Right. I want to make sure that the two faces are smooth, but they should meet well. Right. So then he says the word chadin, I don't know what it means. Sharp, I think he's using the word chadin like we would use the word smooth or unblemished or something. Yeah. But the key is, right, that he did it for a purpose. He did it with a measured intent. That's what Tobia called attention to. That's what Rashi seems to say. Luchuri, you can argue against Rashi. When I go ahead and I cut a piece of paper, a piece of leather, you have to do it, or a piece of wood, it has to be Meleches Varsheves, it should be cut to a shear. Cut it to little pieces. I need firewood. When you start a fire, that's called tochein, right? So Rashi is trying to identify what the isur here is by putting in the lashon shiur rashein shovin. That means he didn't just smooth out with sandpaper. He made it smooth to fit something. It should be equal to the one next to it. Therefore, that's also called mechatech lemido. Chitoch has to be lemido. This is lemido. Okay. Which would mean, if he didn't mean it, lemido. That's why Rashi is not so easy to understand. What if I have a shtender, I have a little table, right? And there's some splinters on it. And I want to use sandpaper and smooth it out. According to Rashi, that wouldn't be a Yisur, wouldn't be one of the Amalachos. It may be another Amalach of Toche.
You wouldn't say that's Mamache?
Huh?
You wouldn't say that's Mamache if it's not the Mida?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Mamache is Shaykh had a salad. I don't know. I mean, all of it comes from Meleches HaMishkan. I don't think so.
Next case.
Okay, next.
Amari for Tia B'Shavis.
No. Well, next one. So, next one. He had there. Magai Rosh B'Shabbos, right? Skip the next one and go to, we want to tie it together. Hamasate says Eben B'Shabbos. Chai Moshe Makeh B'Patish. Okay. Now what's Masates?
Would that be the same smoothing but by stone?
That's how we would learn, right? The Mesates is the act of smoothing it out. Rashi doesn't help you on this, but Tosfos doesn't say so. Right. Because it's a Mesates, the Eben B'Shabbos, is not Chayev Mishum Mamache, it's not Chayev Mishum Osek Kli. The only thing they can get him on is Chayev Mishum Makeh B'Patish. And if it's Makeh B'Patish, Tosfos says, you'll see in a minute, we'll learn it, not smoothing out. That's not the thing. The smoothing out a stone isn't an accomplishment. But look at Tosfos. You should mechatech mamachek lo mechaybi. Okay, Tosfos says, of course there would be. It could be mechatech. It could be b'machek. It so happens that's not the case we are talking about. When he said, since it's a mesates as eben, he's interpreting the word mesates. Mesates is to put a design on the stove. The sates, he says, sates means he put some kind of design on it. Look, he says, ma'ir shikvahim uvasim sukenes. We're talking about a stone that's perfectly smooth, the right shape. Uvas meaning it's square enough. I don't have to remove any stone in order to grind off some stone in order to make it fit. That may be tochen. Right? Ella shemeyapa also. Also, both shirtutin the yipui, keish osha aksham sateila. You people know what? I just came back. I saw it by own eyes. You know what Jerusalem stone looks like? What's Jerusalem stone? Right? Look, of course, there. That brick could be Jerusalem stone if you would chip away, make it chip away little chips all over it. That's the design that they like. A rough hewn design. That's what, that's what he's doing. So he's not adjusting the size of the stone, right? Not changing its utility. He's just doing. That's why it's a moly market patish, from which we would figure out. But if he were doing something constructive to the stone, then what Tosha says there, that mishumachatech mamachek lo mechayev, then he would mechayev either because of machatech or mamachek. If it was, he wanted a smooth stone and it was rough, then be mamachi. Or tochen. Why tochen is a tone in there? Taking wood, right, and making sawdust, we learned before, is tochen. So why not taking wood, taking stone and making stone powder? Unless you have to remember shot that sawdust has a utility, and stone power doesn't have a utility. I mean, there also may be a reason, but then you have to guess a little bit. Okay, and I'll pick up the Gemara in order. Amemarech retiya b'shabbos chayev shememachi. Okay, that's important. Can you use ointment on Shabbos on a skin condition that's causing you great discomfort? It's a quick review of Hilchos Rafua, which we have a dirt together. Right? Rabbanon put an Issur Rafua on Shabbos. That means that there's no Av Melacha, no Issur Midoraisa, they put an Issur Rabbanon. You can't swallow an aspirin on Shabbos, a Tylenol, Ibuprofen, whatever that trade name is.
Ibuprofen.
Huh?
Ibuprofen.
Yeah, ibuprofen. What's the trade name?
Advil.
Advil, I think. Advil. You can't swallow. Well, I take from a bottle, put it around to swallow it. What's the Issur Melacha? The answer is Gzeiro Shema Yisrok Samamonim. Then maybe he will go ahead and make his own medicine. Yeah, and that, make medicine, you got to grind it. When I was growing up, that was the only medicine that was available for treating an infection, a fever. Someone was sick. You went to the drugstore, you bought a concoction, which was an aspirin tablet ground up into fine powder, put into a glassine piece of paper, which you opened up, and nothing more than plain aspirin. Salicylic acid. Acetyl salicylic acid, that was there was no antibiotic, and nothing else was available. Oh, but you can take aspirin and grind it up, that's what the doctors did. Grind it up and put a powder, why there? And then you have some psychological effect that you're getting some medicine, maybe it helps. No, I never understood. Aspirin was available in bottles. Why they, it's better to go to the drugstore and get a powder, razor. That was the minute. Yeah. So Gemara says it's awesome from Sikha Sabawana. But that's only if it is mechush be'almo. You have a pimple too. So what if you have a condition, eczema, something which is causing you discomfort? Then it's mutul on Shabbos. If you're not doing a malocha, like a swallow pill, okay. What's the chilek between a headache and a migraine headache? If it's your headache, it's a migraine headache. If it's his headache, it's a migraine headache. For a migraine headache, you're allowed to take your aspirin on Shabbos, Tylenol. For a plain headache, not. Right? Plain headache, you thank God. It's good to have a headache occasionally. It convinces you that you do have a headache. But I can't do an isotovo with it. For tzar, you can't do an isotovo unless it's pikuach nefesh. Not pikuach nefesh, you can't do it. So what about using an ointment for something which is causing you great pain, but no pikuach nefesh? That's the mamachet retiyah. That's what he says. Yeah, in the old days, everything was these crazy concoctions, right? And it was applied to a piece of cloth, and the cloth was put on you. That's a retir, a bandage on Shabbos, having a plastic kind of substance in there. That's the mare. So you want to put it against your skin and smooth it down. That's also mare retir of Shabbos, right? Nothing to do with the isur of food. Pekuach nefesh, naturally, everybody knows Pekuach nefesh is Docha Shabbos. Over here, it's not Pekuach nefesh. Therefore, HaMemarech Retiyah B'Shabbos Chayev Hashem Memachek. Memachek is that anything which spreads further because of pressure. Visualize wax. I have a piece of wax, I want to spread the wax over a greater area. Why does it spread? My pressure, right, is sufficient, basically, the structure, like melting the wax, right? My pressure is sufficient, enough energy made to this amorphous solid, right, to cause it to move. Big shyly is, when does a waxy substance become a liquid substance? In the muscle, the big chalice that it's a shame your wives will have. Can they use certain things on their face, on their skin? They're accustomed all week to use hand lotion after they finish washing the dishes. They use a hand lotion. Can you use a hand lotion on Shabbos? It's not chafur. It's called Michael Berim. It's what normal people do, not curing anything. Not allowed to use, be allowed to use it on Shabbos. Question is, some of them come thick, some come more liquidy, right? At what point are you entering into the Isur Mamarech? The general rule, we thought, didn't see it clearly in Halacha, right? Halacha Lamaseh. That if it's something that doesn't spread by itself, if you put it on your hand and hold it, it'll stay that way, then it's Isur Mamarech. Rabbi Feinstein Zatzal held that liquid soap on Shabbos, that the kosher that he's familiar with, is an Isur Mamarech. It does have some kind of consistency in it, and to use that and spread it over with, even though no one else agreed with him on that one, including his own house, they used to liquid soap on Shabbos. Yeah, but he was machmir. He wasn't comfortable with that line of demarcation between something which is mamarech and something which is a liquid.
What type of discussion?
Respect to him in my own house, we always add in the liquid soap that we have in the bathroom, I always add a little water to it to make it a little bit more liquidy. It's also more economical that way too. It lasts longer.
What type of viscosity would be allowed?
I'm sorry?
What type of viscosity in terms of is
it? It should be measurable. In our day, we measure viscosity. It's a physical constant. Yeah. So it'd be nice to get a consensus. But you got to get together people to decide, yes, this is viscous, this is not viscous. That's the issue. Therefore, that's what he says here. Right. Yeah. The Maratio of Shabbos, they knew what it was. All their Ratios were what's called a poultice, P-O-U-L-T-I-C. You know, poultices. And therefore, you want to be in contact with the skin, you have to squeeze it down, that's the Issa B'Mara. Masates Eben B'Shabbos is only Makab Apatish. Okay. So, but again, why is only makom patish? That's why Reitosus learns, right? Because it was a perfectly finished stone, all waiting for the artist, the artwork to come in and do something fancy on it. No different, and we'll see later on a tzoltzula on a glass thing. You go make a little finishing touch on it. That's also only. Also as makab patish, not as bone. Next piece of Gemara. You remember the Tesis Kasha and Rashi. Tesis are $9 and Beis are Chavito. Right, making a clay barrel on Shabbos, right? It said, "Yichayev sheva chatos," be five kovanos for it. And Tosfos asked Rashi, "Why don't you list bone as to be a number 8?" Rashi just mentioned that making a clay vessel as a bone. So we answered that. My tennis was to answer Rashi that a clay vessel has no utility. That's why Rashi says chavito, referring to clay, not wood. Why? A wet, unfired clay vessel has no utility, therefore it's not a kli. Kli is measured by utility. Only after you fire it in the kiln, then it becomes useful. Therefore there's no bone in it. And then you have the issue of Bishul. But then Tosfos asked the kasha on himself, right? So Tosfos disagreed with Rashi. What does Tosfos hold? That making that clay vessel itself is also bone. But Rashi, we answered Rashi saying, no, it has no utility as a vessel. And then Tosfos says, what then? You need to know, he says, that bone applies whenever you start from zero and I make something, that's called binyan bekalim, and binyan bekalim, according to Hillel, is isush also, even though Beis Hillel says ain binyan bekalim, that's only a keli where you're doing a little bit. But kli binyan gomu applies to kalim as well. So when you just, what's the example where the machlokas was? You remember, menorah shel chulos,
detachable arms,
many armed candelabra. To put the arms in, the arms are made. To put them in, that's not, according to Beis Hillel, that's only a halacha binyan bekalim, ain binyan bekalim. So Tosfos asks, but Beisil is Moda that Binyan Gomor is Bikli. If I went ahead and I would make a candelabra from scratch on Shabbos, certainly it would be it. So why is the Chavita also like that? That's as though Tosfos Kasha Rashi, we answered because Rashi held that a wet Chavita has no utility and therefore it's not Ksenet Bona. But then Tosfos asks a Kasha on himself, right? So Chiyun, look at that last line of Tosfos, Lo Likshu B'Manapeach B'Kli Zchuchis is the Sof Pirchon. The Gemara have here, HaManapeach B'Kli Zchuchis Chayim Shumaka B'Patish. What does that mean? Why is it Chayim Shumbona? He took a hunk of glass, melted it, and blew out a Kli. That's Kli as Binyan Gomel. So the Gemara should say, Yechayim Shumbona. Moro says Chaim Shumaka Bapatish is a raya to Rashi, right? That there is no Binyan Mikalim at all. But here too, Tosfos leaves it Tzorchiyun, but here we have an easy teretz. We answer Tosfos Kashan himself, so called, right? Why? Because look at the language of the Gemara. Haman Apeach should see Bizchuchis. It should see, you blow glass, molten glass. That's what's the easy. He doesn't say that. Means I have a klis chuchis already. And what then? I need something else on it. So what do? You have a klis chuchis. They take it. They heat again. Part of the klis chuchis. They blow, and they can blow out a handle. You blow out a peg or something. That's what he wants. That's what he wants says. There is no bone. There's only makab apati, just the finishing touch of the kli. That's what you chayv. Right? That's the answer. Tzorchiyun. He didn't say it's a bikashi. It's tzorchiyun. You have to think about it. So he thought about it and said that's simple trap. Be careful on the words. You see, like Mo would say, I'm an apeach. Right? Even the watch the language and carefully. Right? I'm an apeach. There, kli schuchis would be I blew out a kli schuchis. So how about I pay a big kli schuchis? I blow in a kli schuchis. So there was a kli already. Therefore, so again, hatzor tzura b'kli. You want to go ahead and Shabbos. You made a birthday party, right? And you're going to present or serve all the guests with glasses, which is written "Happy Birthday." So on Shabbos you're going to write "Happy Birthday," right? Okay. Yeah. That's kosher for Shabbos. If I'm doing the kli itself, and the kli is all made, and I want to what? Etch into it, right? Or design, or nothing, initials, something, right? There's a halacha other than kosev. There's a halacha of tzor tzur. If that's your idea of aesthetics, you think that this kli deserves a wiggle on it, it deserves a few dots to be made on it, right? Then it's isur of makab b'patish. I avoid not a kosev, not a chokek, not a tikkun b'kli, but clearly a makab b'patish, which is done only mishum noi, right? But utility is not a factor. That's what the Gemara tries to say, right? Makab b'patish is gmar malocha. Okay. That we have to discuss that the long tshuva there. About opening up bottles on Shabbos, right? There we were dealing with not an isur of bone kli, but isur of makab b'patish. What's the makab b'patish? Again, opening up that Pepsi Cola top and ripping off that little rim that prevents it from opening it by itself, but also prevents it from being used as a cover to be opened and closed, Right? Therefore, it's that lacks act. That's makah bepatish. That's Rashi emphasizes makah bepatish. Right? Is gemar malocha. It's not necessary part of the utility of the kli. Utility of the kli, we go into the shilas of bona. But here we're dealing with a simple, the last thing, the gemar malocha of the kli. But it does not affect the necessarily have to affect the utility of the kli. If it does, of course, it's gemar malocha. Now, Makkah B'Patish, there you see, hold a minute, right? Hai Ma'omar Rav Yehuda, Hai Man Deshokol Akufi Miglimi, Chayim Shem Makkah B'Patish. Okay, how do you translate that? No. Rashi gets he's trying to work it out, some kind of constructive activity you're doing. It has to be something, a tikkun, something. So look at Rashi. Shakla kufi.
That's read it.
What? The first part of Rashi is hard to understand. I mean, how to visualize what he's talking about. Hoshe chutin hatruim v'iriyo, right? B'mokom kishuron, shinitik b'chut v'koshuro. Something to do with a
loom.
With a.
Is it atop the loom where the strings are.
Yeah,
loose?
But why is it Issa kosher?
He's loose threads out of the shirt.
They're tying together.
It seems to be the loose threads at the end of the shirt.
That's the second. That's the second half. The first half seems to be more constructive than en malocha, a gemar malocha. There, so Rosh Echut natluyim beiriyah b'mokom kishuron, kishe nitak b'chut, a thread is tears koshru and they tie it up. Okay, that's one. Bechein, similarly, that we understand already. Kashin uksomim dakin shenerge bo belo miskabein ve not nos memeno la chariga the mamalochu v'chal magapatish. The loom is working, right? And some straw flies in the wind and gets caught into the loom. You keep on, you don't stop the work, you keep on doing it. When you're all finished, you'll pull out that piece. I haven't seen it much at all lately, but you people must have bumped into it. You ever have a jacket or something where somehow you sense there's a stiff thread in there? There's something stiff in there, you pull out, you take it out. What that stiff thread is, I never knew. Do you know what I'm referring to?
It's like plastic or something?
Huh? Not plastic, no, it's anyway. But anyway, he's talking about something else. What he says is, in the loom, some extraneous material got caught in. And the baguette is all finished, and you see there's a piece of straw stuck in there that got caught in. So you want to pull that piece of straw? Nothing constructive, you're not doing anything. Sure you are. That's called makkah b'patish. You don't want to wear it as it is. Even though it doesn't affect the utility of the kli at all. The beged is the same beged it was before. If you find this to be objectionable and you went ahead and you want to remove it, that's makkah b'patish. We have our previous gemara, which we did learn together, right? In the third perek, there, haposeach, the pitzavo. When they could be negeos in some things too. When they finished weaving it or whatever it is, so that the thing wouldn't stretch out, they went ahead and put a thread in to keep the shape. Similar to when you put on a new shirt, you find that this some guy, some sugar and a fellow went ahead and put a whole bunch of pins in there.
Yeah.
Like, so many pins in a sugar. A shirt could have 7, 8, 9 pins in there. Why are all the pins in there for? The answer is, whoever sells the shirts knows, in order for it to maintain its shape, right, then you have to do that. Otherwise, it's handled, it's shipped, it's put on shelves, it's taken off the shelf. To maintain its integrity, you have to do it that way. The big shayla on Shabbos then, if that's done for that purpose, can you remove those pins on Shabbos? That the Gemar Malacha. So if you have a tie, and they go ahead and they make it so that you can't put on the tie without cutting or tearing something which is holding the tie together. On the tie is hanging a label, on the tie hangs a price tag, etc. The question is, if that was put in there to keep it, quote, new, and then to make it now useful, you have to remove that. Shaila, well, that is not called Makah B'Patish. They are referring to, like the Beis HaTzavo, that the tailor, the dressmaker, uses in order to make the neck size shouldn't stretch out. She puts a thread in there, right? And that thread has to be removed before you wear it. To remove that thread on Shabbos is a makah b'patish.
So what about when something comes back from the dry cleaner?
I'm sorry?
When something comes back from the dry cleaner.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to call that makah b'patish because it didn't start off with a malacha.
It's already finished, but the person is makpi that he doesn't want to walk around with this thing.
Yeah, that's a bunch of other shaylas on that is, right? About tzor b'Shabbos is a shayla where you ought to go outside because you're carrying. If there's no Erev in town, where that's called carrying on Shabbos there. But the fact that he's kopet alei doesn't seem that once the
beged is, if there's a staple,
once the beged is finished, it doesn't seem that is. I don't remember seeing any place. You could make a chumrah that we haven't had yet, but get credit for that. But I don't.
Is it all makah b'patish after we review makah b'patish? No, all makah b'patish after it's already clean.
What?
All makah b'patish, the way we're viewing it now, is after it already has been a clean for some amount of time.
It has to be something which that's why Rashi uses gemar malacha indicates. Oh, you do this, now you can start using it. They're somehow tied in with its utility. That's there. That's what he says. Who? The copula. You go ahead, you have some alien thread stuck into your fabric. No big deal. It doesn't bother you. If copula, you don't want to wear the jacket that way unless you remove that thread. Then it becomes makah b'patish.
Also, I was going to say, we were saying before how makah b'patish is after the Lalha Barash, but when we were learning the Gemara about making the barrel,
right.
So Rashi has to give an excuse. Why it's not makah b'patish? Just because it's nigmar me'ala.
Right.
Why do you have to say nigmar me'ala? It's not nothing extra. That's
no,
a simple
you've
utility.
Done, no, I mean, that means you've done nothing more.
But why does he even think it should be makah b'patish? He didn't do anything extra. All he did was make a barrel. Hey. Makah b'patish is something more. It's hard sura on top of it.
What he wants to avoid, remember, that sugya is who can bid higher. Who can make more av malachos? Right. So you could have added a makah b'patish,
yeah.
Right? But no, it was nigma me'aleh. It was finished by itself. I didn't want to finish anymore.
But
I'm sure I could have added another av malacha there by saying, and when the baron is all done, right, he paints on a tzuva.
Yeah, but finishing the finishing of a keli we're saying now is not connected to makah b'patish. Finishing of a keli is bona. Makah b'patish is making a drawing.
Right,
it's
something.
Like extra.
So over there,
therefore he says there's no makom. He didn't do anything more.
He says the finish of the keli would have been makom padish. So if it's me, you didn't do anything to finish the keli. The oven did it itself.
No. If there's something you had to do to finish the keli after it came out of the oven, that would be called makom padish.
Why not?
He says nigma me'aleha means when it came out of the oven, it's all finished.
Why would that be called makom padish? It should be called bone. It's not like extra.
No. Once it's a shape of a clear utility, there's no bone anymore. Once it's fully, you're not adding any utilization, no increase in utility.
Well, assuming over there, you're saying that the oven itself, if you view the oven itself as your action, then the oven itself
would be makom padish. No, that's not different. So the oven is not your actions. The oven is an oven. Your actions are putting in the oven.
So I'm saying, but there was nothing extra. It was the basic barrel, and it would have been makom padish if not for the fact that only the flame did it and you didn't touch it.
Don't play it. Okay.
So
the cap is also now. Yeah. All right, now we have let's begin talking while standing outside. Mishnah List says that Rav Malocha Kosev Shtei Osios. All right, someone say that, want to say that, Gabara?
If you write one big letter, and it's the size of two letters, still is a big putter.
Okay, here we go. Why isn't a big letter more chashuv than a little letter? Right. Two letters, that's a deraisa. See, my thing, maybe one big letter equals two little letters.
Machak os gedola, but in contrast, if you erase the big letter, and you did enough erasing, so now you can use that same space to write two letters, so being as you erased enough to write two letters, chayav. You will be chayav. Amar, Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi, Zeh Chomer, Mochek, Mivikosiv. This is the Chomer of Mochek over Kosiv.
Let's see what the points that the Gemara makes. Number one. One big osios, is not the same as two little os. Why? The Melechas HaMishkan was that they ordered to remember the order of how the Koshim were in the Mishkan. They were numbered, very simple. So they knew 1, 2, 3, 4, or they knew 1, 1, 2, 2, right, to match up the boards. Okay. That was the Melechas HaMishkas.
So why isn't one oat chayav?
I'm sorry?
So based on what we're saying in terms of the way it was in the Mishkan, why isn't even one oat alone chayav?
Why isn't even one oat chayav?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a question, right? We have another question. We'll put that in together. Right? Achas Gdola, no, it's not the Reise, right? Why? I might answer that. Why not one oath? Because it's not a Melechas Tikkun, right? Melechas Tikkun had to be in the Binyan of Mishkan. A single oath was never used for any purpose. An oath always had to come in pairs. One oath was of no value. Once I match them up with another oath, then it becomes a value. Okay, that becomes Melechas Machsheves. Next. Mochak os gedola, v'yesh mekoma lichtov shayim chayev. Right? Can you imagine any space, any mechiko, where I can't put in two yuds? A yud is also a nose. Right? then any size mechiko should be also. Mochak os gedola bonus shayim, then he's chayev. There was a big letter, he erased it, now he put it in two letters, two little letters. What shear is that? Is there any shear that is not able to put in two letters? If I'm going to talk about two yuds? Okay, let's keep that in mind. Next. Amar Rabbi Nachman bar Yosef, right? Zer chomer b'mochei mibekosev, right? That mochei gechayev for one os, and kosev only chayev for two osios. People take a look at the rush here. Running out of time already. We can jump in here. We have an engineer. You have a rush? You got the rush test. Kosev she osios tana rabbanon. Chosav osachav gedolo yeish b'mekom olichto shayim poto. We don't have that in Agamara. The Gemara just tells you kosev osachav is poto, two osios shechayim. Well, I wrote a big O's, Falsav Gedolo. And your handwriting is tighter than mine, and you could put in two O's there. V'yet v'kom alevtor shayim poto. Must have two O's. Why? As I told you, the moko in Melechas HaMishkan was that Koshim would have to be matched up, one keresh with the other one, therefore you needed two O's. Mochak osachas gedol is one little shayim, chayev, right? Zechomel mochek v'mkosev. Now it comes, Rosh has trouble. So Rosh makes his contribution. You don't often find the Rosh adding, meaning new Hezbollah in the Gemara. It says, behind the timer, he looks, po'omim, ksav shebemishkon toz. Kosa b'mishkon tos al keresh echad u'mochek d'elikto v'achez b'mkomo. Here's an explanation. That what? Why is mochek more chomo than kosev? Because sometimes mochek is constructive even though there is only one os. Well, I put the wrong O's down. I made a mistake. I thought I'm up to number 14. And I really am up to number 15, so I wrote 14. I got to erase the 14 to put down 15. Right? So there's a constructive act. Again, kipomim chosav b'mishkon toos al keresh echad u'mochek yasi erased kedei lichto acheres b'mkomo. Minadin hoyroy al chayev av mochek osach haste lichtov osach heres b'mkoma. Ela shein roy al chayev al machsheves ksiva yosem al ksiva atzmo. What's he say? What's the lashon gemara? What is mochek? Mochek also had a shear. What did he say? By mochek? Mochak os gedolo v'yesh b'mkomo lichto shayim is chayev, right? But why any lichto shayim? If you tell me the melechas HaMishkan was, I made a mistake, I put down 14, I should have put down 15. I'm sorry, two issues. I put down four, I should have put down five. Then the constructive act is the mechiko of number four. So why do you need a room for two oshos? Why not room only one? Again, look inside. People have to watch it. Again, minadin hayroy alchay mochik osachas, meaning not a mokom of shei oshos. One house alone. That's what you tell me. That's what's the brachas hamishkan. An error made, you can erase it. Teilachayim osachas mokom with osam mokomo. Elo yidis for ein royu lechayim amachshefes ksiva yosem al ksiva atzmo. It turns out, why am I erasing? Because I want to write something else. But if I write something else, I'm only chayiv if I write two osios. You hear this?
Right.
This tiny.
Right.
So since mechika gets its iso from ksiva, mechika is really sort of a dependent on the iso ksiva. Why is mechokim also? Because of the constructive act of ksiva, which will follow. But if the ksiva itself only chayiv when you have two osios, how can I be charge you for mechika of only one oath? That's Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't follow necessarily.
Why is it a follow?
Why not? He said.
He starts
assuming. I look at a constructive act, right? This one letter is in my way. It's gonna mess me up. I erase this letter. That's.
But I think what the Rosh is addressing that in and of itself that mechika isn't really constructive. It's only constructive if it's being piggybacked by ketiva, which will follow later on. Once you're going to put together the mechika and the ketiva, therefore...
Good, yeah, that's what the Torah says. Okay, well, how about...
But what's the jump there?
Yeah, how about, as I have to say outside in the hallway, we had someone who used to like to write on the Gemara.
Okay.
So you wrote on the Gemara.
Okay.
You wrote on the Gemara. Right. I go ahead now and I buy the Gemara from you.
Okay.
Right. You wrote in pencil. I wasn't so sure about your pshat to write in pen. you gotta be a little more gaiva than that. So I'm on erase that stuff. Why is that constructive? Why do I need kosev after mochek at all?
What's constructive about that?
Why? I make it nice and clean.
That's totally subjective.
That's
not in and itself
okay.
The rub.
Okay.
I don't know
okay.
If that's totally
constructive. Yeah, that's what we'll lead up to. Look at the Rosh now.
Huh?
Oh, look at the Rosh.
The Mishka, the only just take up Ketiva.
Just leading you into the next statement of the Rosh. The year Shein chayev al mechikas tishtush dio afilu lichto kama osios geloya b'mishkan ele mechikas osios e lichto b'mkomo. You had some ink spill out on there, right? Remember, they didn't deal with paper, they dealt with parchment, right? I now got a big stain. I want to remove that stain so I can write osios on there. I want to remove it to get lichtov. But I'm not erasing osios, I'm erasing a blot, I'm erasing a blob, a stain.
Yichayev.
Oh, look what he says. Yirali, is if you're going to go ahead and build it all on what happened to Mishkan, right? Yirali, she'en chayev amechikas tishtus dio, afil lichtum kame osios. Ki lohoya b'mishkan ala mechikas osios, they lichtum amkom.
Ha, that's interesting. He sees it very narrow. Only otios, interesting.
But you never...
Why? To undo a constructive thing, that's also melechas marshevus.
Right.
If you're dealing with just a stain, that doesn't fall in the category of constructive behavior, but in our minds, I don't think you would concur with it. Therefore, he brings down, listens a bit. Acha Kosvize, after I wrote this, Mitoch Hasvora, Begam also Midenoka Bebreise Mochak Osachas. I also thought that's correct halacha because the language of the Gemara is not mochak. Everyone knows that dirt stains also can be erased. But the Gemara said mochak dafke osachas, dafke letters. Therefore, I felt that us to remove a stain is no big deal. That's not a melechas mashevis. But reisi b'tosefta, I saw in the tosefta, a kosa bo. It says in Sefer, Noflo Dio al Sefer or Mochko, or Shava al Pinkos or Mochko, and Yesh Bimakomo, the Lichto, say also is Chayev. The Tama lo Borulo. He didn't explain why. What's the case? Wax was a common problem. Why? Remember, I'm showing my finger, reading or something. Remember that official document, personalized document, they would melt wax on the paper, on the parchment, and then people had signet rings, right? And that's like our stamp, right? And stamp it. So how do you melt wax? You have a stick of wax, you hold a match to it. So a piece of wax fell on, not on where it's supposed to fall, at the end of the letter, but in the middle of the letter. So now, Shabbos, I open up the letter, I want to read the letter. I see if this says a hunk of wax blocking some of the osios. So I want to remove that wax. Okay. Therefore, he says, Umochko shaiva ala pinkos, noflo dio al sefer umochko, or shaiva ala pinkos umochko. And yet, the Mekom and Yitzchak say, also is higher. The time of Lo Borolon. Yesh Romar, the Heine Timer. Oshe Nichta Betos, Kaman de Lesse Dami. Ike Rachir, Bishvil Machsheva Saksivo. Hilko Rafilo Tishtu Dio Nami. Bahai de Noka Bebreisen Mokos Gdolo, I de Tone Kosa Mokos Gdolo, but therefore he also wrote, so she says that I'm basing my psak din because the language of the Braise is Mohak Os, Dafka Os. Therefore, Tishtush is not an Os. But then I say, but after all, why is an Os Mohak? Only because it leaves room for making another Os. Then Tishtush should be the same thing. Since the Ikel Mechika is only because of the Machsheves Ksiva later, therefore Tishtush should be the same.
So the
Rosh gives you his, basically an insight in his thinking, right? He says, this is what I thought of first, right? And this is what I think now, because I saw the deceptor.
But by the wax, he's not doing it in order to write something afterwards. He just got in the wrong place and it doesn't look nice.
Right, correct. But the
so is he high up there for still taking the wax off?
He's using the same svara. The reason I want to remove this wax is because of writing. Not because I want to write, but you see, the chshivus of mechika is only based upon the chshivus of the written letter. Whether the written letter was, the written letter will be, is not machalik. You see, no, mechika has no life of its own. Its whole life is dependent on the isur of writing.
But we're saying the person folds off the piece to seal it with wax and put the signet
ring.
To put the wax at the end, okay, to put the signet ring, right? So usually they close it up.
No.
At the end, no.
No, no, no.
And then and close
No. Like you would put an official stamp on a document. It's on the inside of the document.
Instead of you writing your signature at the bottom of the letter, they would stamp it also.
Okay.
Which used to do both. You're talking about sealing the actual whole letter.
Yeah.
He's talking about when you sign it at the bottom of the letter.
Not sealing the letter. He's
okay, so let's say you finished your letter down to here.
Right.
You want to put your stamp here.
Right.
And you got a little bit here, but it just doesn't look nice. So you take it off, but no one's going to write there.
Right.
So then why are you high of mechika amenas lichtov if no one was going to write anymore.
100% right. Therefore, what you're saying is, wax on an unwritten piece of paper, right, shouldn't be nisim.
But is it?
No, we don't know. I don't know. I don't think it would be nisim. I think it'd be perfect that no mitzvah to do it. But if you found a piece of wax over here, it bothers you. You want to take wax, but it doesn't construct anything. When the wax is blocking my ability to read the letter, then I take off the wax, I can read the letter.
Because when I'm in the wrong place, it blocked one of the letters.
The letter, of course.
Okay.
At the end, he says...
Very interesting, Rosh, that he lets you enter into his line of thinking. He said, I thought this way, right? I saw the Tzeftis, and now I got to give a Teretz. So suddenly, I based my whole Svara on the language of the Braise, and it says, what Hamochek Os, that has to do with writing, right? There's no, maybe this one not so.
He's been chayyu at the end for Tishtish Dio for Machbe Patish or for Machika? Seems like he hasn't. He agrees with his original statement.
That's what it says. Machbe Patish, he hit you on the head.
That's what he finishes off. You're chayyu because of Machbe Patish.
No, I wouldn't call that Machbe Patish. He's not the end of a molocha.
You're fixing. Yeah, no. You're making this able to use the paper again.
Rashi says gemar molocha. There's a molocha, and this is the last stage of the molocha. Otherwise, if it's in the middle of something, it has its own place among the 39 molochos, among the 38 molochos.
What was the rush mixing in Makar Padish at the end of that piece?
The what?
So what was the rush mixing in the Makar Padish at the end of the piece?
No, that's it. We finished. Okay, that finishes that. Now, then the rush continues. Hamakar Padish, right? Rabbi Razir Amar Tabayel called me to this, but Gemara Molocha, nothing to do with the previous thing. He's following a Gemara. The Gemara goes after the Moche, Gemara talks about Makar Padish, the Shuchis. He's defining Makar Padish for you. Called this big Gemara Molocha, Rabbi Makar Padish. Okay, listen. Tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we need to do. I want to do first the because it pinches off the Eglatal Zoreya. I gave you the Dibbles Moshe. I gave you Membeis, I think it is, or something. Where he ties it in, interesting, with the Asora. Anoshim Shehiklu Shehiku. We'll start that tomorrow, 11 o'clock.
Rabbi, what were they writing within that day that they were erasing?
I'm sorry?
What were they writing within that day that they were erasing?
What those days? I told you.
What utensil were they using to write with?
Chop chop.
That they could erase it.
They had
chalk?
Close
the
on.
Yeah.
For next
year. The razors?
Yeah, they're scraping off for me. Didn't have a rubber eraser, but they're writing. I was on parchment, and erasing meant like we do now with a Sefer Torah. You make a mistake with Sefer Torah, you take a sharp razor, and you gently scrape off.
But they were writing with ink?
Yeah, sure.
When they were building the Mishkan, they were sitting there out in the middle of the field, dipping ink and writing on the question.
They might have had ink.
I'll bring you the ink that they used in those days.
Okay.
Same ink that the Chinese use today. Okay, it's a block that looks like a block of charcoal. You break off a little piece, mix it up with water, right? And that's what you dip a brush in. That's how you write. Okay.
What were you saying?